Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Gitmo.
As a critic, yes.
As a critic. We're going to move to Gitmo because today closing arguments begin in Guantanamo Bay at the terrorism trial against Leem Hamdan. He's the man known as Osama bin Laden's former driver, and the closing arguments really cap off 2 weeks of testimony in the first war crimes tribunal in the U.S. since World War II, and it's certainly drawn tremendous scrutiny as the judge has questioned whether alleged confessions were coerced. And trial watchers observe a process that came about after the U.S. Supreme Court rebuked prior Bush administration plans for the alleged enemy combatants. Joining us now is U.S. Army Prosecutor Colonel Lawrence J. Morris, the chief prosecutor in the Hamdan case. Good morning, Colonel, and many thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Let's start with some of the criticism. I'm sure you've heard all of it. The trial has been called a farce, for starters. How do you respond to some of those criticisms that the method is undemocratic and not in line with our Constitution?
It is a constitutional method. The Constitution provides for trials such as this. And of course, it all derives from constitutional authority, from the president's authority, and this particular mechanism was specifically authorized by Congress. But as far as the details, look at, watch the trial. Listen to people who have been down there and watched the entire trial. And you are hard-pressed to look at anything in the trial that's different from a conventional trial.
What about
so we'll stand by what's actually going on in the courtroom. Go ahead, please.
No. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Let's talk about some of the issues that the judge had with the statements, the alleged statements of Saleem Hamdan, that there were questions as to whether or not they were coerced, that they were gotten after some kind of torture.
No, there were no questions about torture in this case, but there were concerns, as there are, as you know, in cases tried anywhere in the U.S., at times, about the circumstances under which statements are taken. So you look at all of the circumstances together to determine whether they're reliable enough and whether they're trustworthy enough. So this shows the commitment to due process that we have there. He admitted most of the statements, but he did exclude some of the statements, and we're able to proceed to trial anyway.
Okay, let's talk about Hamdan. He admits that he was a bin Laden driver. What's the strongest evidence that you believe you put on trial showing that Hamdan did conspire and support terrorism as charged?
Anytime somebody joins an organization and takes action in furtherance of that organization's goals, in this case, the goals of Al-Qaeda, then they become a co-conspirator. They're associating themselves with, as he said, with uncontrollable enthusiasm, with the goals of that organization. So we, that business of him being just a driver has never been the government's characterization. He is an Al-Qaeda warrior, and among his functions was driving bin Laden, but he also was a combatant. He was a trusted bodyguard. He was somebody so close to the inside of that organization that he kept the leadership alive so they could carry out their terrorist aims.
Well,
so
Colonel Morris, let's clarify then, because I think Dora's question is to the point here. Say you're talking to someone who observed what happened on 9/11 here in New York and was fearful of what it meant for the future of the United States. What is it that Hamdan is guilty of that should make such a person feel better that they're now in custody? In other words, what is his detention done to make it less likely that that's going to happen to somebody sitting in New York here?
That's a great question. And, you can always get down to isolating one person and say, well, do you drop this one person out and can a criminal organization still persist? And we know from rooting out the mafia and other well-run criminal organizations that it's hard to pluck one person out and say the whole organization will fall. But organizations like that rely on Hamdans to keep them alive, to literally keep the leadership of the organization alive. So if you don't have these enthusiastic people who perform all of the functions that Hamdan performed, including making sure that bin Laden stays alive, that bin Laden is taken to safe places every time that he's on the run, then the whole organization cannot thrive.
Colonel Lawrence J. Morris, we thank you so much for your time today, sir, and certainly hope you'll come back and talk to us again.
You're welcome. Thanks very much.
Colonel Lawrence J. Morris, he's a U.S. Army prosecutor, the chief prosecutor in the Hamdan trial.
And I think you hear him saying that, you know, they have somebody who was involved in Al-Qaeda, but not a leader.
Well, not only that, but, and this is why we continue these conversations. It's a larger context. Yeah. It's a historic trial, and this is the first person that goes before the military tribunal.
Oh, it's
worth thinking about. It's worth thinking about.